Good evening and welcome along to The Score, our midweek sports show here on Highland Radio, where we take a look at what's been happening in local sporting circles around the Northwest. I'm your host, Mark Gallagher, and I will be with you now until 8 o'clock. So, let's have a look ahead at what's coming up on tonight's show. We'll be chatting to Sean McFadden ahead of the Michael Murphy Sports St. Patrick's Day 3K run. In our local soccer segment, Chris Ashmore has been inside the camps of Milford United and Mobile Celtic this week, so we'll hear how both of those clubs are performing. And in our League of Ireland preview, we'll be looking ahead to this week's games for Finn Harps and Derry City with former Harps captain Keith Cowan. But there is only one place to start. It was a massive day for ATU Donegal as their ladies soccer team have won the O'Regan Cup for the second year on the bounce. The Letterkenny based college ran out 9-0 winners over MTU Cork in Athlone Town this afternoon, and I am joined on the line now by ATU manager Breed McGinty. Breed, congratulations on another huge day for you and the team. Two O'Regan Cups in a row. You must be over the moon.
Yeah, it was a great day. As you said, two O'Regan Cups and also the league title this year. It's absolutely a credit to the girls. They've put in a lot of work in the last 2 years. It shows the talent that is in Donegal, and it's just brilliant to get them on a platform that they can play at a good level.
In terms of the game itself today, Breed, you were well in control at half time, 4-0 to the good. Tell us a wee bit about that first half.
Yeah, we were in control in the first half. We had two major injuries going into the game, with our keeper being out, and Zara Scott, Claire Diver, our goalkeeper, being out, and Zara Scott both with knee injuries. So we were apprehensive in the first half and how we would set up. But thankfully, everything that we had worked on, the girls took it into the game, and they took control of the game. They wanted to win it. They wanted to get the two titles in a row.
Yeah, and then the second period, more of the same, really. Yous were really just too strong, especially as Cork wilted there near the end.
Yeah, Cork started to tire in the second half. And I suppose when you go a couple of goals up, people start letting their heads dip. And I think that's what affected Cork in the second half. That because we had four in the first half, and then we scored early in the second half again, it was just hard for them to keep going.
Yeah, so let's go through the goal scorers then. Caitlin Fletcher, she enjoyed herself this afternoon. She got four, two in the first, two in the second. And Kerry Loughery and Caitlin Doherty also chipping in with a couple each. Obviously massive contributions on a day like this.
Yeah, Kerry got a hat-trick. Caitlin was Caitlin Fletcher, who also got received player of the match. Did absolutely amazing. As you said, two in the first, two in the second. Caitlin Doherty got two. But there was good performances. Ellie Long, some of them goals were put on a plate for the girls. She had an amazing game in the midfield. Cody Walsh also pressed hard to try and get on the score sheet, but it just didn't work out for her today. And the other thing in the first half, like I think after 5 minutes, we lost Jodie Loughery, who's a big influence in the game. And thankfully, yes, we hope that her injury is not as bad as we expect, but she would have been a big loss for us in the first half.
So it's a League and Cup double. You've retained the O'Regan Cup. You couldn't really have asked for any more than that from this group. Breed, you must be so proud of the girls and what they've given you.
Yeah, it's great. Like, we only lose one player going forward to next year. So hopefully, yes, it'll be a big challenge going into the Prem next year, because every team will be playing, will be fully complements of the National League players. Like today, Cork had three National League players. So it's just trying to get them, the challenge will be there where we're at a level against the stronger players in the country.
And there'll be a few celebrations tonight then. There could be a few Friday morning lectures missed.
I don't know. I can't comment on that.
We'll see what happens. You'll enjoy the trip back up the road anyway.
Yeah, it'll be a good celebration. Good afternoon. There'll be plenty of singing. It'll not be a quiet bus.
That's it. Well, congratulations once again. Thanks very much for joining us on The Score this evening, and enjoy the celebrations. Take care. Well deserved. Breach.
Thanks very much. Okay.
No problem. Talk soon.
Thanks.
There you go. That is ATU Donegal Ladies Team Manager Breage McGinty in great form after retaining their O'Regan Cup crown against MTU Cork this afternoon. Now, from College of Soccer to the League of Ireland, and it's another big weekend of action in the SSE Airtricity League. In the First Division, Finn Harps are up against bottomside Treaty United tomorrow evening at Finn Park after taking 5 points from their opening four games. It's a double weekend of fixtures in the Premier Division. Derry City are at home to Shelburne tomorrow night, which is followed up by a trip to the capital to face St Patrick's Athletic on Monday evening. The County Stripes sit fourth in the standings after going down 1-0 to champions Shamrock Rovers last time out. And I'm happy to say, joining us on the programme this evening to talk all things League of Ireland and preview the action is former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan. Keith, thank you very much for joining us on The Score. I hope you're keeping well.
Yeah, all's good, Mark. Cheers. Big week ahead. With Premier Division and that, so yeah, plenty to talk about.
That's it, a double weekend in the Premier Division with a full round of games tomorrow and then again on Monday. We'll get on to that in a moment, but let's start with the chat about Finn Harps and the First Division. Finn Harps, four games played, 5 points on the board, sitting mid-table-ish after a couple of tricky enough matches. A decent enough start, would you say, to the season, Keith?
Yeah, I suppose, look, when you're so early on in the season, you want to get those first couple of points on the board, and you know, wins especially, and they do have one. 5 points from 12, it's a decent return, but I'm sure Kevin McHugh will be looking for more from his squad. You know, the high hopes going into this season. So yeah, pretty much he'd just be looking for a bit more from the group. A couple of tough fixtures, having to go to Cove and getting a decent result down there, almost like a win. Going there and getting a point, and a win against UCD at home is a very good result also. So yeah, looking back at last week, that point against Wexford, who are a decent side as well, they've shown a lot of resilience over most of the games so far. If they have gone behind, they have come back, and they've scored in all their fixtures so far as well. So plenty of positive in there, but I know Kevin, and he's very much a winner, and I know he'd be setting up a winning mentality there, and he'll be looking for more from his players this week.
Yeah, and just to touch on last week against Wexford, as you say, a slow enough start, going behind after just 8 minutes, but Harps did get back into the game after that and could have went on to win it in the end up by all accounts. That's probably the game where there's maybe a wee bit of a tinge of disappointment not to come away with all 3 points.
Yeah, I think that as well, but Wexford, very much controlled the opening exchanges in that game, and the goal the Harps conceded, they will be disappointed. A ball into the box wasn't defended properly, and it was an easy header in the end. But again, that's the reaction, I suppose. It will be a positive, and they're able to get back into the game, and maybe possibly could have went on won it. But yeah, I suppose it's that idea. You want to be winning your home games if you have, your sights set on being in that top half or in those playoff spots. Wins at home are very important.
For sure. So tomorrow night, another home game against a Treaty side who are at bottom of the standings, just a point on the board after four games. Keith, this is a huge opportunity for 3 points.
It is, yeah. And I suppose, like, Treaty haven't had a great start. I suppose if you look at last week, getting a draw, Cian Curtis scoring a couple of goals for them. So their confidence will be slightly up. If you look at their game so far, they haven't been blown away by many teams. Cork, I think, was a last minute goal from Murray Keaton in the opening game of the season. Cork managed to beat them 1-0. So, they are improving. As I say, they don't ship many goals. They're bottom of the league, but we're only a couple of games in, so we can't take too much of the mat right now. So it will be a difficult game for Harps. And again, you'll be looking, I suppose, them making that journey up from Limerick. You'll be wanting a good start. You'll be wanting to get a good crowd in as well, and try and drum up a bit of atmosphere, and hope that the lads can, I suppose, start this game a bit better and maybe hopefully take all 3 points.
Yeah, and these are the kind of games where the opponents have a long journey up to Finn Park, getting a big crowd behind the boys, and these are kind of the games that Kevin McHugh said will need to be winning, or at least looking to win, if they're to have the playoff ambitions come the end of the season.
Yeah, you have to, and like I said there before, that bit of a journey, and you're kind of hoping that maybe the away team is, kind of still got legs on the bus a bit, and that's why starting these games, you know, like quickly, a fast start, and you know, trying to get as much, you know, put as much pressure on them as possible early on, get the ball on top of them and try and squeeze them as much as we can, and yeah, that's why, you know, the games where they're away team, because it's going to happen to Harps obviously so many times this season where they have to make that long journey, and you know, starts and games are crucial, and you know, you can't be expected to come from behind every week, and you know, it'll be no different this week.
In terms of individuals, Keith, who've been the standout performers for you so far this season from a Harps point of view?
Yeah, look, I suppose it was difficult. You know, I suppose it was very much an unknown quantity with a lot of new signings coming in. The one that actually stood out for me is actually Shawnee Bradley. You know, I wasn't, you're kind of looking at the squad and wondering where the goals are going to come from. And I say, you know, some of the new lads that he's brought in, but he's very much gone for someone who, you know, Shawnee seems to, you know, and work. I think he leaves it all out there. And, you know, having a striker who's going to press, who's going to work a couple of centre halves and fullbacks, you know, that's hard to get. You know, he's shown his quality as well, with a couple of goals and a couple of nice touches and assists. You know, he's a clever player as well, from what I see. You know, he can buy free kicks, he can get his team up the park. So he's very much one that stood out for me. Of course, you have, you know, your likes of Connor Tourish, Tony McNamee that have, you know, that are solid and, you know, put in, you know, your 7 out of 10s, you know, every week at least. And then as well, Corey Sheridan as well. And goals has been, you know, although he hasn't got his clean sheet just yet, he's put in he's made big saves in games, which have kept the scoreline, you know, down, and you know, they're almost worth a goal at times. So someone in his position, so young, so it's the young guns really that you know, that have impressed me so far. But look, there's still a lot to come from the squad as well. So we'll be keeping an eye out the next few weeks.
We sure will, and we'll have live updates from that game tomorrow night with Jeremy Doherty from the 7:45 kickoff at Finn Park. Elsewhere, leaders Cork City host Longford. It is second v fourth as UCD go to Bray. Wexford play Kerry, and Cove Ramblers are in the Midlands to face Athlone Town. So let's move on to the Premier Division. Keith, Derry City play Shelburne tomorrow night at the Ryan McBride Brandywell, and then they go to St Pat's on Monday evening. These double weekends can have a real impact on the league table. It's very important at this stage of the season for Derry to stay in touch with the likes of Bowes and Shamrock Rovers, and these weekends can be massive in terms of doing that.
Yeah, look, I suppose Derry very much, you know, under the microscope, you know, since the beginning. People think they haven't had a great start. You look at performance wise, you know, they've actually gone behind in every game so far. So they play 5 games so far this season. So that's not going to last in terms of, you know, if you're looking to make a title charge. You know, you're reading things and seeing things in terms of, are they actually going to make a stab at a title charge this year? It doesn't really look like it at the moment. You know, it would have been tipped for themselves, or Shamrock Rovers probably would have been the top two just in terms of who Derry have signed. But when you're looking at them at the moment, it just looks kind of rather disjointed, you know, in terms of the signs that they made. There's, you know, the likes of, you know, Darren Markey, who's come from Drogheda, hasn't really hit the ground running just yet. James Clark from Bowes hasn't really, and this is, I know, you know, as I say, you're reading stuff and seeing stuff, you know, this is all self-proclaimed from them, that they haven't really, you know, been able to get themselves going or the standards that they set themselves. James McLean playing in the middle of the field, you know, is that a factor? Does the squad look at that and see, you know, is he the right player in there for us at the moment? And again, look, that can all lead to them, I suppose, do they have confidence in Tiernan Lynch? Do they feel like he knows what he's doing in there? So a lot of, like, more questions than answers for Derry at the moment. And again, as you say, like, with the double weekend coming up, you have Shells now, and then away to Pats, it doesn't get any easier, away to Pats then on Monday night. So very difficult games. You know, you want to be taking 4 points there, you know, because the teams above seem to be carrying a bit of momentum. Obviously, Bowes, the only team not to lose this year in the league so far, and Pat's going well also. So, yeah, very much so they would want to be getting points on the board this weekend if they are to be, you know, thinking about this. And again, look, it is early on. It's early on in the season, but still, you want to be gathering points this weekend if you're going to be making a serious title charge.
And probably eyeing up tomorrow night for those 3 points, maybe out of the four. Shelburne are the visitors. This has been a massive game over the past couple of years, with Shelburne coming to Derry and winning the title a couple of years ago. How do you see that going tomorrow night? I know it's unpredictable, but if you were to call it, how do you see it going?
It's quite difficult, I suppose. There's no real short answer with that one, unfortunately. Like Shells, like Derry haven't been great at home. Derry haven't been great away. Derry have gone behind, like I said, in every game so far. If they're going to give, they were able to give the likes of Sligo and maybe Waterford, two goal head starts, and then they come back into it and score later on to sort of take the bad look off things. Shells are a lot more of an experienced side than them. Maybe they might look at Shells and they might take them more seriously as an outfit. Maybe there's a certain amount of that in it. Shells getting a point there on Monday night. They played Shamrock Rovers on Monday night. And went two goals ahead themselves and went behind and managed to end up with a draw. So it's a difficult one to call. The way Derry are going, they'll have another difficult night. Tiernan Lynch is, talking about a few injuries that they have, and then the game with going again Monday night. So they're going to find it difficult with the squad that they have. Look, I think they're just going to have to roll up their sleeves and maybe just try and get over the line with this one. I could see a draw here, very much so.
Bohemians, as you say, the only unbeaten team so far. You'd probably fancy them to pick up another win at home to Galway tomorrow night. They've been very impressive so far, Keith.
They have. They've done really well. Kind of built on a decent defence there as well. We know Sam Todd, who actually left Derry and went there, picked up it, scored the winner last weekend down in Waterford. They have a very good squad, and they have an experienced manager in the league as well. It's going to be, you would like to think that that they're going to pick up three, but look, there's no easy games in this league. We know that everybody has to fight and scrap for everything that they get. But yeah, I've been impressed with them. With a few players as well. Dawson Devoy has been excellent, who's actually been included in the Ireland squad for the upcoming, the training squad for the upcoming qualifier. So that'll obviously give him massive confidence. It'll give players confidence from around the league as well. A few of the Rovers guys have been in, Shamrock Rovers guys included also. So it'll give, that'll obviously give the, hopefully it's not just, a case of getting lads in because, they play in the League of Ireland, it's to give the League of Ireland a lift. Hopefully they are being taken seriously as candidates, but it'll do their conference no harm and their experience no harm. And I think Michael Duffy did an interview there during the week as well, that he would like to be included, or thought of, or hopefully his performances will bring him into a similar bracket. So he picked up Player of the Month there as well. So he's had an excellent start to the season, but probably one of only Derry's shining lights at the moment.
Yeah, Duffy's been brilliant so far. In other games tomorrow night, Dundalk host Waterford, St Pat's are at home to Drogheda United, and Sligo Rovers welcome Shamrock Rovers to the showgrounds. What about Sligo Rovers, Keith? An important win last week against your old side, Drogheda, to get them off the mark. It was badly needed.
Yeah, it was indeed. It was, I suppose, kind of opening day. They were unlucky not to get anything out of the Derry game, and then heavy defeat at home against Bowes kind of in between that as well. So no, a big 3 points for them last week. A dogged performance from them, and we're kind of keeping an eye for some of the local lads to make an appearance in there as well. Karen McHugh picking up a red early on in the season for him, so he got a week off, and still a few other lads that are waiting to come in. But yeah, look, it's an important one for them, and sort of keeps them in touch as well.
And just finally, Keith, your own team, Letterkenny Rovers, going well, 4 points clear with a game in hand over Bonagie, heading into the final third or so of the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division season. A lot of work to do, but a good place to be.
Yeah, look, I suppose when you're top, it's sort of, it's kind of reward for the work you have done. But look, there's nothing really kind of, they'll not be handing any trophies for a couple of weeks yet. Look, we still have very difficult games to go, and look, no different than going to St. Catharines now at the weekend. That we played them at home earlier in the season, and they're a really well-organised team, a young team, a fit team. So look, I know St. Catharines going down to the pitch down there. It's quite tight, and it's a narrow one, so it's very going to be much roll up the sleeve stuff when you go down there, and hopefully we can get something from the game. And yeah, there's still a lot to play for in that league.
There you go. That is former Harps captain Keith Cowan. Now looking at matters elsewhere in the Irish League Championship on Saturday, Institute, who have made a great push into the top six recently, they play Queens, while Limavady, who have slipped off top spot into second in the past couple of weeks, they play Newington. Well, we'll take a break here on the programme. When we come back, we'll be turning the focus to local soccer. Stay tuned. You're very welcome back to the show. Now it is time to talk local soccer. And Milford United kept their promotion hopes alive in the Temple Domestic Appliance Division 1 last week with a 1-0 win over Tabletoppers Kerry Keel. There's a lot going on at the club between the senior team, the underage and girls teams. Well, Chris Ashmore has been out and about this week and caught up with Milford United chairman Peter Doherty and their manager Noel Gillespie, who has been happy with how the season has gone so far.
Peter, many thanks for joining us. Looks like Milford United very much on an upward curve at the moment, going well in the league and always developments off the pitch as well. So overall, you must be fairly satisfied with this season to date.
Yeah, delighted, Chris. We're just seniors and reserves are both going well there at the moment, both competing to get promoted from both their divisions, and the underage is just up and running again here now. We're ready for a new season where we have 13 teams ready to go in the Letterkenny District and Donegal Underage and Women's League. So on the pitch, things are going well, thank God. And off the pitch, we're busy as well, so all's good.
So that's a lot of players when you put all those teams together. And of course, then there's many parents and former players and members of the local community. So you are very much a part of that community. You play a big role.
Yeah, we do indeed. Yeah, we try to use the community as much as we can. We're very lucky in Milford that the parents and the community businesses and everything come behind us, and we all get in together, and it's a big help for the club, and it really is a big push for us. And we try to get as many young ones from the area playing football. As I say, we have three teams of under 12 boys, three teams of under 14 boys, two under-16 boys and an under-18 boys team. And then we also have girls teams competing under-12s, 14s and 16s as well. And then we also then have our nurseries. We have our under-6s, under-8s, under-9s and under-10s, both boys and girls. So overall, we have loads playing, and it's a stress at times trying to get pitches, and that's it's a good stress to have.
Yeah, it certainly is. Years ago, clubs really couldn't have survived just with one pitch if they'd all those teams. You've always been very progressive down there, developing facilities. So what exactly do you have in terms of pitches, and are there any new plans for further development?
Well, just as you say, new development. Yeah, well, we have our new AstroTurf that we had done several years ago. We use for a lot of training. And then we also have our training pitch down at Moyview as well. But we're actually now, the diggers are about to go in on our football pitch in Moyview. We're going to redevelop the whole pitch. A substantial fee being spent on it. We're hoping the diggers actually will go in on the last day of March now, 2 weeks' time. So we're redoing our whole playing surface, because over the last few years, it's with all the weather and that, it's struggling to hold with all our new teams and the amount of teams we have. So we're spending on it. So we're going to be off the pitch for a year, but hopefully it'll, in the long term, it'll be a big help to us, and that'll stick the time, and we'll be able to get more teams playing every weekend.
So it's really a vote of confidence in the club and investment for future generations.
Yeah, it's to help the young ones who are now at under 6s and under 8s, that hopefully when they're kicking balls in competitive football, that we'll have a top-class pitch for them to be able to play on. And it's great, as I've said, we're so lucky with businesses in the town who get behind us. We're so lucky with every team we have. Businesses are jumping on to support us and sponsor teams, and it's great. And parents, no matter what we do with a ticket or if it's our monthly 50-50, the parents are very good and supportive of us. So we are lucky in the town. The town gets behind the club, so we're very thankful for that.
Well, that was the Milford United chairman, Peter Doherty. I also spoke with the club's manager, Noel Gillespie, about how the first team is getting on this season. Noel, it's been a pretty good season to date. You're currently third in the table. You've won 8 out of 16 games, so you've probably drawn maybe a couple more than you would like to, but that said, you must be pleased to be where you are.
We are pleased to be where we are. At the same time, we're possibly a little disappointed because of the draws, that we're on top of teams and we should have got away with 3 points, and with the way the point system is now, too many draws affects you later on in the season, and probably there's a little bit of disappointment on it, but also we're glad to be still in contention, and especially there was a good buzz after the victory last week against the league leaders Kerry Keel. But we have 2 games left. I'll set up our hands in one way. There's a good chance we'll make it to playoff.
Now, you're away from league duties this weekend, but I think the following weekend, a big, big game, Capri Rovers at home. It's the proverbial six-pointer.
Yeah, like, I mean, Capri were one of the best teams we played this year. But saying that, we were one up with 10 minutes to go, and we were up there. And we could beat 2-1 earlier in the season. But they're a good side, and we've nothing to fear from them. But if we could beat them, and they drop someone else along the line because they have a game in hand, we could get automatic second, which again would please us immensely. I don't think we have enough points to catch Kerry Keel.
What would it mean to you and the club to get back into the top tier?
I think with the amount of young players coming up and some of the older players, it's so important to play in that top level. I know it's going to be very, very difficult to some very strong teams on it. To give the young players an experience to play on that tough level would mean an awful lot to us. Like, we've been in that top division for many, many years. And then once we dropped down to the Ulster Senior League, and for us to get back there, I think a few local lads back, and we left them to the club here because the standard is high up there, and sometimes people have to stand up at that standard and see how they can perform at that level.
And finally, Noel, great to have so many underage teams there, so there's a conveyor belt of talent coming through, and that certainly augurs well for the future of Milford United.
Yeah, like, and at the moment at senior level, if it wasn't for the 16, 17, 18-year-olds, we wouldn't have the numbers. Like for me, managing the team, I have no problem with the bench every week because there's so many under-18s that can come on board. We've got a lot of good young players there, and we've good under-18 teams this last couple of years in the youth. So that means so much, and gives the young fellows something to listen to look forward, even at 14s and 15s now, they can see that when they get to send in that they get an opportunity to play the senior reserves, and definitely a big boost this year. Like, we could have 30 fitting on Tuesday and Thursday night, which is good. Bodes well for the future, I think.
Milford United club manager Noel Gillespie, and before that was Milford United chairman Peter Doherty in conversation with our own Chris Ashmore. Well, Chris has also been in the show on this week and caught up with Moville Celtic chairman John Gillan. The club have gone through a tricky few years but are on the up this year with the senior team resurgent under the management of Martin Rea. Chairman John Gillan is happy with the progress being made.
I'm sure everybody in the club would love to see promotion come the end of the season.
Oh, definitely. It's all we're hoping for at the minute. It's been great now this year. Now we've kind of started fresh again. Everybody at the club's just hoping now that we can get the last six games over us and gain promotion. But the thing about football, nothing's certain. So there's still a lot of work to do.
Yeah. So it's a famous club. Several years ago, fair to say, things were not great at the club. There was even talk, at one stage about its long-term survival. But at the moment, things seem to be going very much in the right direction. And it's not just the first team. You've lots of underage and indeed girls soccer as well.
It's mad how much the girls football has grown. The amount of youth we have now at the club, we've over 210 members under 18. And it's great to see because the club, whenever I took the chair, I was saying that this club's a club for the community. And that's just exactly what it is. As long as you're good to your community are good back to you. And we see that every time when we open the gates and the amount of kids come through the doors, it's brilliant.
In terms of facilities, with all those teams, you probably need every pitch that you can get. For years, Bayfield was the main pitch, and then, of course, you developed Glen Crow as well.
Yeah, we are lucky to have the two pitches, which are groundsman Darren keeps brilliant. We have our Astro then out the back, which, thankfully, we were lucky enough, and with a lot of work done in the background by the committee and Sean especially. There, we got the capital grant approved, which is going towards relaying our AstroTurf and also the new changing facilities down in the Bayfield. So it's going to be a really important year. There should be big changes hopefully coming to the club soon.
Now, the first team got off to a flying start. this next fixture for them against Clonmany Reserves. It's a top-of-the-table clash. There'll be a lot at stake. And if you can win that, it puts you into a very strong position.
Yeah, hey, look, the boys have been absolutely brilliant. And none of this would have happened without Martin Rea and his team. Like, Martin's been absolutely brilliant coming onto the club. And we go on to this weekend against, I think it's top-of-the-table clash. And Clonmany are a great team. They beat us the last team. And I think that's the only team we haven't scored against this year. So that's going to be a real good game. And well, there's six games left. We have to win four to gain automatic promotion. So you only can take one game at a time. And I'm sure Martin is drawing that under them.
And just tell us about the format in the second division. There is a split at a certain stage of the campaign.
It's a big league. Like, it's we have obviously our senior team in it and our reserve team in it. So like, you have 17 teams in the division, and then they play each other once, and then it splits. So the top eight then play each other then one more time, and there's, 23 games in total. So it's a big league. Like, there's a lot of ups and downs, but thankfully, so far, for the senior team, there's been a lot of ups. I'll just give a mention to the reserves as well. They're on the division, and they're fighting away there as well. So fair play to them as well.
So promotion would be the big reward come the end of the season. But I see you're also going well, the Father O'Gara Cup. You're into the quarterfinals, so nice to have that positive distraction.
Yeah, it is. Hey, we've been like, Martin Rea says to me whenever he first came, he says, they leave no stone unturned. And the man puts on a massive amount of work. And we're starting in March now. We have a semi-final loss to Shield. We have a quarter-final, thank the Father Gara, as you say, and then we're in the quarter-final of the Anish Grass Shield. So there's a lot of football to play. So it's a bit early to get carried away, but thankfully things seem to be enough. But as I said, football, there's no guarantees.
And a lot of it's often due to momentum, and if you can carry the momentum that you have there at the moment through to the end of the season and indeed into next season, it could just keep you going up those league ladders.
That's what you want. Like, I think everybody at the club wants to push forward as much as they can, and that's like the three senior teams. That includes the ladies team as well, the two men's team, and all the youth teams. Like, they all want to push forward, and the only way is up now when you're in the Division 2, so hopefully we can.
And there's no doubt that the town's getting behind you for the rest of the season, and there'll be some good attendances, one suspects.
It is great. It's actually, we actually spoke to a player about this at the weekend, and we were saying that we're kind of getting our regulars now that are always up watching the games. And it's great to see, and you do see more people coming, which is brilliant. The youth are even more involved in the games now. They're coming to watch. The parents are coming to watch. It is a feel-good factor around the club at the moment.
And finally, John, a big shout-out to many people behind the scenes and sponsors as well who are doing such Trojan work.
Yeah, we commanded us a few years ago, a new committee, and I can't speak highly enough of the committee. Everyone on it, and also to our fundraising team, the local businesses around the town. To me, there's no town like Mavalha, and the businesses really gather around you, and it does not go unnoticed.
It is Mobile Celtic chairman John Gillan chatting with Chris Ashmore. Well, there are two games in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division this Sunday. Table toppers Letterkenny Rovers are away to St Catharines, and second place Bonnygee United go to KG Rovers. The standout tie in the Temple Domestic Appliance Division 1 sees Capri Rovers second in the league. They travel to play Gaydor Celtic. And in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2, the big game sees second place 4th when White Strand United make the trip to play Cranford. There are also games in all three divisions of the Saturday leagues this weekend. And then, Sean, the big games of the weekend are on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Both semi-finals of the Donegal Science Cup will take place. It is Buncrana Hearts up against Kildaff, while Cockhill Celtic play Clonmany Shamrocks. Now, let's turn the focus to a brilliant annual event that takes place at this time of the year, and it is the Michael Murphy Sports St. Patrick's Day 3 kilometre run. Highlands Oisín Kelly has been speaking with race organiser Sean McFadden to get the details of this year's race.
Sean, nice to be in the studio. How's things?
Not too bad, hey? Not cold, wet, one day.
hopefully it won't be too cold and wet and one day next Tuesday for St. Patrick's Day. Listen, the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure 3K run is back. This is the third year of the event. Yes, there is a bit of change. There's no mile this year. We had a very good interest and a good price for the mile last year, but it just hasn't happened in 2026 for you, Sean.
Yes, it seems to be very hard to get people to travel up to Donegal. I just think we're too far up. You know, we had very good prizes for the last 2 years and we try to get everybody back, but unfortunately it's not going to happen. So we're just going to go with the 3K for women and men.
So tell us about the 3K then. Obviously there's prize pots there as well. So there is?
There's still prize pots. Fair play to Michael Murphy Sports and Peter Coyle down there. They're coming on board again this year to sponsor the main event, the women's event. It's 300, 200, 100 for the women and the same for the men. And then we have category prizes this year for the 3K, and they are sponsored by Dylan Brown McMonagall. The young jockey has put up a few cash prizes. Kieran Doherty, that has the fishing trawler over in Killybegs, has put up cash prizes, and Richard from McDonald's down there has put up more cash prizes for the category prizes. So there's a lot there for everybody. There's a family prize as well, and there is a junior prize and, again, a youth prize. Okay. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Lots of prizes. Tell us about the course, because it's flat and fast, isn't it?
The course is flat and fast. It's around the Joe Bonner Link Road. It starts at the council offices, and you do 2 3/4 laps. Runners will be on the road, and the walkers will be on the footpath. So, and it's a good course. Last year, we had some good times in the 3K.
What are you talking about, roughly?
Like 9 minutes, 8:55, 9 minutes, maybe 9:20 for the women. Hopefully we'll have the likes of Nikita Burke out there this year. Nikita, unfortunately, hadn't done it yet because due to an odd injury here in niggle. She's back racing well. She did the Armagh 3K there recently, so she ran well. And then we'll have all the locals, you know, I mean, other ones coming in. We think about that Roisin Flanagan girl might be coming back this year to run the 3K. So, yeah, the men's race, we're not sure, but...
John Travers won it last year. We're John to see if comes back.
Yeah.
We're still, 4 or 5 days out from it. A lot of athletes still making up their mind.
Yes.
When you're primo, would you done 3K in?
Probably 9:16.
Right, okay.
9:15, 9:16. Well, no, I don't know about that. You know what I mean? In my prime, but that's a long time ago, Oisín.
Yeah. So what time's the start? Tell us about the format of the morning.
The format of the morning this year, sign-on is at the Letterkenny Community Centre down with Liam. It's in the old Letterkenny Clubhouse. We were in Devers for a few years there, but we moved across just to give more parking and, you know, stuff like that. So sign-on starts at 8:30 and the race starts at 10 o'clock.
And just to remind everybody that the bulk of the entries are being taken on in the morning. Isn't that correct?
Yes, yeah. no online entries. Everybody signs on the morning. You land down, get your slip, you fill it out. It's a fiver for children, it's a tenner for adults, and it's €20 for a family. And this year, all proceeds will go to the girls' school there, with Alma and my wife Irene supporting it. And they're
it's
looking.
It's a good cause.
It's a very good cause, and you know what I mean? And this is what it's about. Last year, 2 years, we've gone with some Bernadettes. And as John said, it's nice to share the love with other schools. They're trying to raise funds to buy new sports hall equipment. So it's going to be a good family fun day out, and hopefully we can get a big crowd out. And, you know, St. Patrick's Morning sets you up then for the day, and then you can go up the town to the parade and do whatever you want to do. So, you know, myself and Michael Black as the organisers of this, and we've been doing it now for the last 2 or 3 years, and it's worked well, you know. So we're looking forward to it, Oisín, you know what I mean? It's just unfortunate we haven't got the mile this year, and that's it. That's racing, you know, so...
Just moving away from the 3K, obviously the 5:55 is another event that you're involved in. We follow quite closely here.
Yep.
It's going to be in the first The 7th of August, actually, is going to be on. How's plans for that going? Because that's normally a big one, Sean.
Plans is going well. You know, I mean, entries is open there. Entries are coming in nicely. And we don't panic at this time of year because people haven't kind of made their mind up, actually, on what they're going to do. You know what I mean? It's a long season. A lot of people's doing road races at the minute and they're you know, planning their calendar. But there is entries there. I think we've up to about 25, 30 entries already there. So, you know what I mean? So, that's way down the road. I'm not even going to think about it at the minute, but listen, it's there. We're going for our 11th a year, and as I said to Michael, when people stop signing on, that's what will be when we won't do it. But every year I say the same thing, this is the last year, but now we're back again for the 11th edition. So yeah, it's there, and it's part of people's calendar now, you know what I mean? People love doing it, and they love torturing themselves, you know what I mean? I could find
that's
better
grueling.
Ways to do it.
It's grueling.
It is.
But less grueling is, of course, the 3K, which is coming up on St. Patrick's Day, and it's all in aid of a very good cause, Scoil Mhuire Gan Smaoil, for sports hall equipment there for the school. And all the details are on the social media page, which is?
The girls' school have their own page. It's on my page. It's on Michael Black's page. It's out there. There's been a good interest already in it. So, yeah.
Registration on the day at the Letterkenny Community Centre from 8:30. The 3K starts at 10. There's cash prizes up for grabs. Very best with it, Sean. Thanks for coming on.
Good man. Thank you again. Always looking after me.
That is Sean McFadden, the race organiser of the St. Patrick's Day 3 kilometre run, chatting with our own Oisín Kelly ahead of that brilliant event on Tuesday. Now, moving on to Gaelic Games, Donegal are back in action this weekend as Jim McGuinness's side travel to Dr. Hyde Park to take on Roscommon on Sunday afternoon. Donegal sit top of the National Football League Division 1 standings and remain unbeaten after the draw with Galway a couple of weeks ago. Roscommon have their own ambitions of making a league final as they sit in 4th spot on 6 points and they will be aiming to take another big scalp this weekend. Oisín Kelly and Brendan Devaney will have full live match coverage of that game with the throw-in at 1:30 on Sunday afternoon, so tune in for that on Highland Radio Sunday Sport. Bottomside Monaghan take on Galway in the other Division 1 game on Sunday. That is at 4:45 in Inishkeen, and there are 2 top flight games on Saturday. Kerry go head-to-head with Mayo, while Armagh and Croke Park to face Dublin, with both teams battling to stay in Division 1. A bit of a relegation tussle going on there. Derry and Tyrone both play in Division 2 on Saturday. Derry play Louth and Ardiff at 3 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, Tyrone and Meath clash at Croke Park. Highland's dedicated weekly GAA programme is now available to listen back to over on our website. On Monday, Brendan Devaney was joined by Donegal hurling boss Mickey McCann, Cathair O'Kane of the Irish News, and Slotineal coach Gary McDade. That is on this week's DL Debate, which you can listen back to now over on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com, or now also on the Radio Player app. Well, there's plenty of stuff happening in other sports across the Northwest this weekend. 3 Donegal boxers will compete in the National Junior Finals. Dunloe's Eilish O'Donnell and Alicia Mullis Boyle will aim for national glory, as will St. Bridget Clonmany's Patrick McDade. It's a busy weekend on the athletics front. On Saturday, there's the National Indoor Under 20 and Under 23 Championships in Athlone, and Sunday sees the National Masters Indoor Championships being held at the same venue. We'll be getting all the latest from both of those events with our athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal over the weekend. And finally for tonight, the West Cork Rally is on this weekend. It is the second round of the Irish Tarmac Championship, which sees a lot of local interest as always. No more so than 3 in a row Donegal International Rally winner Callum Devine, who tops the entry list for that event. That is just about it from me tonight. If you missed any of the show and want to catch up, you'll be able to find the full episode on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com very soon, or you'll find us on the Radio Player app. We'll be back with another episode of The Score next Thursday evening from 7 o'clock. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher. Have a great evening. Enjoy the sport at the weekend, and I will be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.